Welcome to the final podcast of Cosmic Careers with Veronica Chiaravalli and myself, Alistair Brown.
We have reached the end of this book, and we have talked a lot about space development. This conclusion is justly titled, Space is Our Neighborhood.
And it is. We're using it already. Satellites for weather, communications, and other functions. Space tourism is kicking in, and soon, very soon, there will be a massive movement of humans into space.
You've all heard what they or we will be doing up there. The 10 chapters in this book have described these tasks, big or small, that humans and robots will do. You notice that this book and podcast is called Cosmic Careers, meaning a career related to the cosmos.
I have mentioned certain types of jobs you might think are unrelated to space. For example, in the previous chapter on settling Mars, I mentioned the position of bear biologist. One may ask, how is that related to space travel? The answer to that question is that bears hibernate during the winter months, and if we research how they do this, it may be possible for astronauts to hibernate. We can learn how to mimic the functions of a bear and apply it to astronauts traveling on long-term missions or missions susceptible to radiation and slow down an astronaut's metabolism to protect them from radiation.
You've also mentioned other positions throughout the book.
I did, but if the listener feels I didn't mention enough, it's for two reasons. One, I want them to buy the book and read through it. There is a lot in there that these podcasts haven't covered. Two, I want them to think. As they do so, they can use their imagination about how their skills, whatever they may be, can apply to the coming age of space development.
One thing you have to remember is that the book Cosmic Careers is not a job hunting manual. You can get enough of them at any bookstore.
This is a book on the coming space movement, a revolution. The people that will migrate up there will be doing a wide variety of tasks, from mining the asteroids to designing the insides of habitats on the moon, and not just technically, but artistically. We humans will want to maintain our quality of life up there, as we have on Earth. In order to do all this, we will need all the skills we have on Earth to apply in space. That has been described throughout this entire podcast.
This book has an appendix on a list of space-related jobs that has been referenced here.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. We will go over some of these jobs at random as we approach the end of this episode.
The conclusions to this book here covers two examples. True stories of two different people who were able to achieve the purpose of Cosmic Careers.
I'll briefly explain both cases. There's Angel Abud Madrid, who grew up in Mexico during the Apollo era and dreamed of working in the space field. He came to the U.S. to earn a graduate degree in engineering and met a professor who asked if he was interested in working in the space field. Angel jumped at the chance. Angel had experiments he wanted to do in zero gravity on the International Space Station, but couldn't afford it, so he settled for a drop tower where his experiments were put in a compartment that literally dropped from a tower simulating gravity for 5 seconds. That wasn't enough time, but he eventually went into an airplane similar to the Vomit Comet, where the plane soared at 30,000 feet, then dropped abruptly by 10,000 feet, imitating zero gravity. Eventually, his experiments made it to the space shuttle and then the ISS. Angel Abud Madrid is now director of the Center for Space Resources at the Colorado School of Mines.
That's quite a journey from Mexico to where he is now. All he started out with were his dreams and ambitions, and look where it got him.
That's what it takes. If you have a vision and you are determined to achieve it, you can do it. Just don't let anyone discourage you.
You have another example.
Her name is Jean Wright. She originally didn't set out for a space-related career. Jean is a seamstress and has been since the age of 7. She became a dressmaker when she was an adult. In 2005, Jean Wright read an article about sewing professionals at Kennedy Space Center and how, with their skills, formed fiberglass and ceramic-based fabrics into life-saving panels on the space shuttle. This aroused her interest and applied at KSC, Kennedy Space Center, and was accepted. Her team also fabricated large heat shield blankets to encircle the engines. Attaching these blankets for flight involved hand stitching with a metallic nickel and temperature tolerant super alloy called Econol-625. All this was to replace the tiles on the shuttle, which took up an enormous amount of weight, costing fuel for the shuttle. Less weight meant using less fuel and carrying heavier payloads, such as satellites and science experiments. Wright continued her position until the last shuttle mission. Elias Matic wrote and illustrated a children's book about Jean Wright's NASA experiences called Sew Sister. You can order it online, and I highly recommend it. This is one example of how anyone with any skill will be able to participate in the coming space movement. There will be more people like Jean Wright and Angel Abud Madrid. One of them could be you.
See how a skill can get you to your dreams, even if you don't think they can apply? You never know what the future may bring.
My own skills brought me here, and I'm just a writer.
Any skill combined with your dreams can take you anywhere you want to go.
The appendix at the end of Cosmic Careers is a list of jobs there that were referenced by the book. 41 are listed here, but we can't go over them all. Instead, Veronica and myself will take turns selecting a job at random, and we'll see how it applies to the space movement. Veronica, would you like to go first?
Archaeologist.
Archaeologists. That is a one to figure out. But what it would be like, suppose you're on Mars and you want to look at the formations to see if there was any signs of life on Mars. That's what many people, including Robert Zubrin, want to know. Or you could look at the moon formations. Of course, this would go in the area of geologists. But what it was is that you can just look at different formations and try to analyze the history. And it doesn't even have to be human history or history of extraterrestrials. It could be geological history or maybe the history of the solar system itself and how it forms. The archaeologists would probably team up with the geologists and such. Radiologist. I'm choosing that one. Well, that's easy. There's so much solar and cosmic radiation in space, not only just analyzing the radiation, but how you can protect yourself against it, not only in space, but on the moon and especially on Mars, because we definitely need radiation shielding.
Energy manager.
Ah, that's one. We need energy in space. And from solar power satellites that would be built in geosynchronous orbit, beaming energy to the Earth in microwaves. And that would provide plenty of energy for Earth. And don't let the word microwave scare you. Or when you're on the moon, using sources of energy such as solar energy or nuclear power. We will have nuclear power on the moon. It'll probably be a lot safer. But so nuclear power, solar panels, solar energy, or other forms of energy that we can't imagine right now. I'm going to choose one, space debris collector. That's an easy one. There is so much space debris in space that you want to clear it off from the graveyard orbit to old rocket stages to low Earth orbit, even to parts of satellites, satellites that are no longer working, junk satellites that you cannot repair. Every type and every size of space debris, even to the ones that are 2 millimeters thick. And when you collect them all together, you can collect a lot of valuable metals from that and make some good money off it. plus the fees for collecting it, but you'll be making low Earth orbit a lot safer.
Remote sensing scientist.
We have sent remote sensing satellites for years examining the Earth for the Earth's formations, the Earth's weather, the Earth's even, for example, looking at rainforests on Earth and see how it is being depleted. And so we need, it's going to continue, and we're going to need more of them, and perhaps having remote sensing on the Moon and Mars to examine the formations there. But remote sensing on Earth has been going on for decades, and it's going to continue that way in the ways I've just described it.
Telemedicine coordinator.
Being examined in space by the by medical apparatus, and the results could be sent to doctors on Earth with the analysis of that astronaut or someone on the moon, and see their biological functions to see if there is anything wrong, to see if they do need some type of medical aid, like certain types of medicines. Like, so for example, if an astronaut does get sick, he could be examined by a, let's say, a scanner, in which would send the results on Earth, in which it would be analyzed by the doctor, and he can see what is wrong. Geologists, that's easy enough. Looking at the moon, at the surface of the moon, looking for materials to mine, examining all land formations, all rock formations, and the same thing goes for Mars. And in the case of Mars, when you look at canyons, when you look at dried up lakes or volcanoes, you want to see if water ever existed, which many people think that they have. And as for the moon, looking at the poles, the Shackleton crater, which ice has been found in huge amounts there. Well, there you have it. This is not a complete list by any means, but the point is, if you're a visionary and you feel that space will become a large part of human history, and it will be, and you want to participate, you can. Don't think you can't. You can do anything you set your heart to, but you do have to do the work. Use whatever skills, whatever talents you have, and you can contribute to our next great movement. We are going through tough times right now, but times have always been tough. Maybe they are really tough in this instance because we are at the dawn of a new era. A new renaissance with a new frontier is about to open up, and there is a place for you if you want it.
Well, Alistair, it's good to end this on a high note. There is hope for us after all.
Yes, there is. And I want to thank you, Veronica, for your participation in this series. Thank you, Marianne Kurinch, for helping to create the original book, Cosmic Careers. Thank you, the listener. And if you have all enjoyed this podcast as much as I have presenting it, pick up a copy of my book, Cosmic Careers, by Alistair Storm Brown and Marianne Kurinch. There is a treasure trove of information in there that is not on the podcast, and you are going to want to know what it is. You can order Cosmic Careers on the net or at your local bookstore. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Goodbye.